There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. Reminder, too, coming up at about between 1:20 and 1:30. It is the classic, and it is a perennial here every Christmas on this show, the whiskey speech. And if you want to hear, you're talking about political speech out there, and you're like, they just talk out of both sides of their mouth. We'll get the best demonstration of it from back in the day. Soggy, with Noah Sweat, they called him Soggy, his whiskey speech delivered in April of 1952 in Mississippi. That classic is coming your way shortly. This classic, although that makes him sound old. My buddy, John Sharp, AL.com, joins us. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. What a great week we got ahead of us.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And John gave me a little tease. It's not up yet, but we'll be up soon, I'm sure, at AL.com. Two things. He likes Christmas, and this man loves some wrestling, and you've combined those into one story coming up. What did you stumble upon here?
Well, I found out, you know, Santa Claus made an appearance to Big Bad Breakfast on Sunday and met with a lot of sweet little children and sat down and took some pictures with the folks over that were visiting at a Christmas party for a local wrestling promotion, Diamond Championship Wrestling. And the children, you know, Santa was there, and he wasn't talking wrestling. He was talking Christmas. I mean, Santa Claus was there. But on the way out of town, you know, my understanding is that this same Santa Claus ran into a pickup basketball game out at Sage Park. And there was no children there. It was adults. And but he got out there. He was Santa Claus until some of the folks on the basketball court recognized a distinctive limp and figured this is a guy that we've seen on our televisions before over the years. And one guy called him out and said, "Wait a minute, you're Mick Foley." And indeed, Santa Claus was, in fact, a former World Wrestling Entertainment heavyweight champion back in the heyday of wrestling in the 90s and best-selling New York Times best-selling author. You name it, this guy is he's a celebrity. And Santa Claus shot a few hoops out there, apparently made one of them. There's a video up on YouTube or up on Facebook now. Folks get a chance to see it. He said, "I was in Mobile, Alabama, and there's this Santa Claus shooting hoops out at Sage Park." And then he went back and grabbed some stockings. His big shtick was Mr. Socko back in the day. So he'd have a sock, and he, you know, would apply what they used to call the finishing move, the mandible claw. He'd shove his hand into someone's mouth with the sock on. And it's a big, long story. Get into it. Wrestling fans know what I'm talking about. So he went back and grabbed a bunch of Mr. Sockos and handed them out to all these guys on the basketball court. You thought for a second this was just some crazy guy showing up here dressed up as Santa, you know, giving us a hard time. He wound up, you know, when he was finally outed as, you know, on, you know, Mick Foley, I got this great picture of all these guys there with their socks on their hands. I actually talked to one of the basketball players who was out there. You know, he plays, it's just a Sunday pickup game.
Yeah.
And they just randomly have Santa Claus show up. But, oh, by the way, just so happens that this Santa Claus has a story to tell and then some. So it's a fun little story. It's something I'm working on.
And I think, this is interesting because this works because we know wrestling is real, and so Santa is real. I mean, if that's real, right? I mean, there wouldn't be any fantasy in either of those. So,
you know, I talked to Nick. He's a great guy. He really, truly is. I talked to him, this is something that, you know, like all Santa Clauses that you talk to, they're affiliated with this group called the Cotton State Santas in Alabama. You talk to these folks, they're part of this real bearded brotherhood of Santas. I mean, you know, you have to have certain standards to be a Santa.
Wait a second. There's a license, like you're licensed to be Santa?
It's pretty well yes, it's a serious, serious business.
Yeah, I'm not going to laugh. Yes.
No, it really, truly is.
Because there's a sign out by my house. There's a sign that says to book a real Santa. And I wonder if that's a branding that comes from this.
Of course. I mean, talking to Mick, he said that. He goes, the biggest compliment you get paid by any child is to say, you know, we've sat down with the real Santa. I mean, could you imagine? And you do this. And a lot of Santas start their season in October before Halloween with booking pictures and making photo shoots and so on and so forth before they even start doing the in-person stuff. You know, the malls really aren't a thing anymore, but there are shopping centers, there are events, there's hotels, you name it, Christmas events throughout Alabama, anywhere. And Santas are in high demand, and it's a big business, you want to be that guy that the kids say, "Hey, you know, I sat down with the real Santa," and that's good. That's good. That's good for the business. That's good for the bottom line. A lot of these Santas are, you know, they're not young guys either. They're older, older men, clearly, and they're retired. And Mick Foley himself is a retired wrestler, but he's got a lot of other things he's working on.
I just like the idea that, like, they show up and, like, okay, can you show me your paper? Make sure you're licensed. Okay, here it is. I'm a licensed in you know, by the Cotton State.
Well, I don't think there's no government-supported there's no government.
Oh, give them time, John. Give them time. In Montgomery, they'll hear us talking. They'll say, you know, we ought to have we have licensure boards for other things. We need to make sure all the Santas are licensed out there.
All right. There's no, as far as I'm aware, there is no obscure regulation that the government has for the Santas to sign off on. But there are the organizations that support the Santas, and it's just not cheap. I mean, you got to buy the suit, you got to, you know, you make sure your, you know, the beard is not brown, it's white. You know what I mean? That stuff costs money.
Yes.
Yeah. I've written about it over the years. I've enjoyed it. You know, the Cotton State Santas will be down. They're an organization that's statewide here in Alabama. And they'll all be down in Gulf Shores in January. They have an annual blowout, basically, a big Santa blowout. And it's usually held at a restaurant somewhere down in South Baldwin County. And then at the end of the
Are they in
the
costume?
Event,
Are they in costume when that happens?
No, well, they're
I was saying, because if we walk into a restaurant and it's nothing but Santas all over your bike, what's going on here? Now you know.
Well, it's they're dressed down. I would call it like a Class B. Now they're not in a Class A. You know what I mean? And, they got their T-shirts on. But it's quite distinctive. You walk into, one year it was at Sunliner Diner in Gulf Shores. I walked in there, and everybody's just, like, taking pictures. I mean, it's quite clear. You got a group of about 30 to 40 guys with white beards all gathered around and wearing red T-shirts and stuff, and their wives are with them, and they're just having a good old time. Everybody's just like, that's Santa Claus, you know? Those are a bunch of Santa Claus. So you get a lot of people taking pictures and selfies. It's a lot of fun. And then at the end, there's a group of them that'll go do a polar plunge down in the Gulf.
Okay, that's what I was wondering if they took part in that.
Yeah, and I've done a couple of stories of that over the years. So it's a fun group of people to be around. And
you just gotta
they
wonder,
all have interesting stories.
Well, I mean, you go walk in, you wonder, is this a Kenny Rogers impersonators meeting? Or, it's Santa. So
it's Santa.
It's Santa. Yeah. All right, I'm obsessed with this story. But I did ring you up because this is how real reporters work and find things that we wouldn't even think to look for. And Dalton and I have been talking about your story here with the headline, Untangle This Mess, Mobile City Hall Lease May Be One of a Kind in the U.S. We talk about the situation here in City Hall and all the drama that's going on now between the city and the county. But Mobile isn't alone. You found another municipality that's done this same thing. It's not exactly nearby.
No, it's in Anchorage, Alaska. But they're clearly well out in front of the pace here. of what where Mobile's at. But they are moving forward with purchasing their city hall. They're in a building that's been, and it's not necessarily apples and apples. Like I said, you know, Mobile's probably in a very rare situation, maybe the only one, when you're talking a city the size of Mobile, where it's leasing its city hall from another government entity. Most of the cities that lease their city hall buildings in the United States are leasing from a private entity or a nonprofit. They're not leasing directly from another public body. So that's kind of the distinction here, the difference with Mobile's facing. But in Anchorage, Alaska, for years, since the 1970s, they've been leasing out their city hall building from a private from the private sector. And what the city of Anchorage decided to do back in early November is to kind of get away from that arrangement. They figured going long term, it would be a better and more positive development for the taxpayers if they decided, well, let's enter into a financial arrangement. It's kind of what they call a lease back. I don't get into all the details of that, but it's a situation where they will eventually claim ownership of this building instead of basically paying rent, you know, and not getting anything back in return for it other than the space that they're paying the rent to utilize. So they figure long term too, they'll be saving some money. They ran an analysis on that. They believe that there'll be, over a period of time, this will actually lead to savings, and so that you know, financially this makes sense both in the short term and in the long term for the city of Anchorage. Interestingly and eerily, I thought, Anchorage has spent the same amount of money leasing out their city hall space, about $60 million is what I found out Mobile has spent overall. Mobile's approximately spent $60 million.
That is eerie. That's space. Odd. When I read that, I was like, yeah. You gotta be kidding me. These two municipalities doing this thing, not exactly apples to apples, but close enough, more than any other cities. And it's the same amount of rent.
Right. However, Anchorage's expenditure has gone on since 1979. Mobile's is since 1995. So that, and when we start talking about an increase in rent and utilities and expenses, that's why we're at right now, with the city of Mobile kind of, you know, scratching its head and saying, well, maybe we ought to take a look at this situation. Of course, Mobile County has its position where, you know, it doesn't want to continue eating these costs. However, that's where we're at right now, where the city of Mobile will be going into 2026 looking at this issue. I think it's going to be one of those stories that we're going to be writing about for a while.
Yes, it'll be one of our greatest hits, John. I think that's going to be on our list of greatest hits coming up.
Yeah, it's right up there. You meant greatest hits being the I-10s, the Amtrak funding, the airport, those kind of things that have been out there for years. This is one, I think, that has the potential of being that, because it's, I think that there is an understanding that, you know, from the city that we need to look at things differently. And yeah, I mean, you know, a city like Anchorage have done that, and they've debated this for years. It's, you know, it was funny. I was, you know, these things just don't happen quickly. I did get some comments from a city official in Anchorage, and he's like, wow, this is really interesting. You know, they'd expect to get an email from a reporter down in Mobile, Alabama about their city hall situation. But I saw some of the newspaper stories that were written in November about it, and I thought, wow, this has got some interesting, you know, similarities. And then I found out they've spent the same amount of money that Mobile has on the lease, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it's really odd. Yeah, it's cool, and I'm glad you did the research for it. I mean, it was an eye-opener. We've talked about it a bunch. All right, folks want to obviously read these stories and the Wrestling Santa story, AL.com, if they want to reach out to you directly, see what you're doing, how they find you online.
Yeah, I'm on the X, all socials at JohnSharp99.
Merry Christmas to you and the fam. Brother, we'll talk soon.
Same to you, my friend. Thanks.
All right, there goes John Sharp, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. And we're just, let me read a couple texts here, and then it's whiskey speech time. Let's see. And Michael says, I really like John Sharp. He's been the only decent part of AL.com for several decades. Yeah, I like John. I've said this before, John and I are personal friends, but he is a, just like that story there, right? To go, that's reporter stuff. Like, to go figure out, there is another municipality that has this system, like Mobile does, with the municipality renting space from the county. But only the other one is in Anchorage, Alaska, and they're getting ready to get out of it. That's kind of interesting, and I think we'll see more going forward there. But, and, of course, the Wrestling Santa story, all that will be up at AL.com. But John's good people. He's a good guy. Fire Dog says, have to have a license to be a clown. That's serious business. Do they have a clown license? Don't give them an idea in Montgomery for the licensure board. My buddy CB Carl said, Sean, you see me in my Santa beard and hat garb. I always have to remember the rules of the hat. When you wear the hat, be nice no matter what. Fortunately, today is the last day for me this year because I look like Santa, nice doesn't come naturally to me. I don't know. Y'all pretty nice folks. Right. So this speech, and I'm, people are excited about it on the text line. That's good. This has been a perennial. Probably done it for 12 years. It might be year 12 or something on this station. And it's the whiskey speech. And it is the best example of political doublespeak I have ever heard. It was originally delivered by Noah Soggy Sweat Jr., 1952, on the floor of the Mississippi State House. He gives this whiskey speech. And it's concerning whether they're going to go wet. It's coming out of Prohibition, right? So this is the idea of this big, big question in Mississippi was whether you should vote to go back to selling booze in Mississippi, or you should keep it the way it is with no booze. And it has been retold by many. Even John Grisham has a version of this. But this is a Mississippi legislator later on, back I think in the 80s, re-delivering the original speech from Noah Soggy Sweat Jr. This is the whiskey speech. This is the speech given on whether or not Mississippi should go wet. And it goes like this.
I sound like an ad. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? To truly appreciate this classic 315 words, you must remember it was written over 50 years ago, when the sale of whiskey was illegal in Mississippi. We sold it, we drank it, we taxed it. We even elected a statewide public official to collect the tax. People staggered to the polls to vote dry was the common saying. It was the most controversial of all subjects to ask a candidate for public office, especially a candidate for the legislature. This speech was written and delivered by N.S. Soggy Sweat while he was a member of the Mississippi House of Representatives from Alcorn County. My friends, I had not intended to discuss this controversial subject at this particular time. However, I want you to know that I do not shun controversy. On the contrary, I will take a stand on any issue at any time, regardless of how fraught with controversy it might be. You have asked me how I feel about whiskey. All right, this is how I feel about whiskey. If when you say whiskey, you mean the devil's brew, the poison scourge, the bloody monster that defiles innocence, dethrones reason, destroys the home, creates misery and poverty, yea, literally takes the bread from the mouths of little children. If you mean the evil drink that topples a Christian man and woman from the pinnacles of righteous, gracious living into the bottomless pit of degradation and despair and shame and helplessness and hopelessness, then certainly I am against it. But If when you say whiskey, you mean the oil of conversation, the philosophic wine, the ale that puts a song in their hearts and laughter on their lips and a warm glow of contentment in their eyes. If you mean Christmas cheer, if you mean the stimulating drink that puts a skip into the old gentleman's step on a frosty Christmas morning. If you mean the drink when it enables a man to magnify his joy and his happiness and to forget, if only for a little while, life's great tragedies and heartaches and sorrows. If you mean the drink, the sale of which pours into our treasury untold millions of dollars, which are used to provide tender care for our little crippled children. I'm blind, I'm deaf, I'm pitifully aged and infirm. To build highways, hospitals, and schools, then certainly I'm for it. This is my stand. I will not retreat from it. I will not compromise.
That is right. And that, my friends, is the whiskey speech and the best example of political doublespeak. So when you hear doublespeak coming out of Washington, coming out of Montgomery, and you say, wow, that's a heck of a thing they just did, it was nowhere near what was done in 1952 by, and that's a retelling, obviously, of the speech given by Noah Soggy Sweat Jr. That is the whiskey speech, and now it can be Christmas here at FM Talk 106.5. Once that goes, the checkered flags are here. Santa can make his deliveries, and all is good with the world. All right, 343-0106 for your for your text. Like Matt says, I'll drink to that. Yeah, well, it depends on what you think the whiskey does, right? So you're a pro. That being said, we'll be right back. Get your text at 343-0106. My buddy Kevin Harrison joins us. A lot more coming up in the second half of this hour right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Christmas Eve edition of the show. And thank you on the text line popping here. Yes, the whiskey speech. A perennial around here. Every Christmas, it pops up, and it's time for Christmas once we play that example of political doublespeak. Probably 12 years or so we've been playing it here. Jimmy and Baby Ned says, Sean, thanks so much for playing that every year. It puts a big smile on my face, and thank you. Well, thank you, Jimmy. Ben says it's now time to start shopping. Yes. More people say, I'll drink to that. Yes, it is. It's, but you can go listen to it. I mean, I like it when you listen to it on the station, but you can go to YouTube and find it and show it to your friends. If you go, those politicians and their doublespeak, well, they ain't nothing compared to what was delivered by Soggy Sweat Jr. back in 1952 in the Mississippi legislature. Go check it out. All right, good to get this man in studio. It's been, you know, like we always talk about, too long, but he is... He's back and he brought gifts, so he's always welcome. My buddy Kevin Harrison, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, man, and thank you for the gift.
Yeah, yeah, enjoy it.
Oh, I got plans for that. It is a, it's going to be a treat. Yeah, I probably won't do it for Christmas, probably do it for New Year's. It
might go good with the bourbon.
Yeah, so I may open one of those bottles of bourbon that people come to my house and say, you know, that's a real good bourbon. I say, oh, okay. They say it got dust all over it. And so I was told to buy it. I held on to it. So
yeah, I don't drink anymore, but the bartender, when she reached for the top shelf, she'd always lift my spirits.
See, I'm going to use that joke too. Dad joke stuff. I want to talk, you know, you and I over the years have talked about roads. We talked about actually historic roads in Alabama too. Had some great conversations about that. I mean, I heard Jeff was talking the other day on his show why 65 goes like it does with that arc versus taking a more direct route to go through from Mobile. And there's some history to that.
The Federal Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a mail route from New York to New Orleans that was once a week but in 1820.
It was determined kind of like, I mean, there were, you know, Federal Road, you had the Indian Road, right, that was going through. And then, depending on, this is politics way back then, y'all, way the road goes, what towns got to be on the road versus what towns did not.
That's right.
That was big time politics.
Yeah, three notch went down to Pensacola, and
which was actually marked with three notches on the tree.
That's right.
Yeah,
and there was an old railroad that went from Pensacola to Montgomery that was along the lines of an Indian trail called the Wolf Trail, and that railroad's not even there anymore.
So it went from where to Montgomery?
Pensacola to Montgomery. Called the Wolf Trail. And it was an Indian trading line that the railroad was built, and that railroad's not even there anymore.
Huh. Okay. Well, see, I mean, there's some modern roads that, you know, probably don't make any, you know, homage to the past, but there's a lot of them that we're riding right now because that was the easiest way to get from point A to point B when people walked or rode a horse.
Yeah. Old Shell Road was from Spring Hill to Mobile Bay. It was a privately funded road. In 1850, it was a toll that was either a quarter or 50 cents.
That sounds like some libertarian stuff right there, privately owned roads, and we're going
to
toll them.
They put, it was a road to their bay houses and stuff, and this was in 1850. Well,
from their summer houses to their, you know, to their rest of the year houses.
That's right, and it was made of oyster shells. Had mm-hmm. to be done four times a year. Then they built...
Was the replenishment four times a year?
Right, and it was a toll. That's what it was so expensive. I don't know what 1850 25 cents was, but you know, today's dollars is
pretty big money.
Expensive.
I'll be darned.
Then they built a new road from oyster shells down in South Mobile County. So old Shell Road, which used to be called Isidore Road, is now Old Shell Road. So all kinds of little stuff like that. And I think I mentioned before the trees on Government Street in Spring Hill. They are a certain width apart. That's before cars were invented. They're actually turned at 1900. That was the radius that a horse and buggy needed.
We had to turn around. I remember you telling me, if y'all look at this, this is what's fascinating. I don't know if the last time or the time before you told me that, the measurement of the road was what it took, you know, and maybe had a stretch carriage. I don't know, but that's what it took to turn it.
Right. And it's interesting that, you know, a lot of these, like the Federal Road and Three Notch, all these roads, they weren't, these were all horse and buggies. I mean,
yep.
It wasn't for vehicles. It was just the maintenance alone. I can't imagine.
That's what the roads look like after a good Mobile rain back then.
That's right.
Well, we're going to talk about some modern roads today. And Kevin, you work with Sane and Associates, right?
Right.
And what do you do? What's your job?
So one of the programs that we have is funded as a federally funded program from South Alabama Regional Planning Commission, which houses the Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization, Mobile MPO, and it's the SS4A. It came out of the IIJA or the BIL. Federal
translate,
bill.
Yeah, translate that for me.
Bipartisan infrastructure law.
Okay.
The transportation bill.
Okay.
And it's a two-part funding program. The first part is a safety action plan. We're doing it for Mobile County. We're doing it for every city in all of Mobile County. What recommendations come out of that safety action plan will then be eligible for federal funding for the next round of funding for the implementation grant.
I'm going to get you a little closer to that mic.
And that can be up to about $22 million. So we're talking real money. And the safety action plan that we're doing is a two-part plan. First is data. And there's 71,000 crashes in the past 5 years in Mobile County. 71,000. 347 fatalities in the past 5 years in Mobile County. So we're looking at all the crashes. We're looking at the type of injury, the type of crash there are. And we'll create a heat map for the county, and we'll create recommendations from one of 28 different Federal Highway Administration countermeasures. They can be systemic, like speed limits or lighting. They can be operational, like dual lefts or extending turn lanes. We'll create a list of those recommendations for the SS4A plan, and then the next round of funding, the county or the municipality that project resides in will be eligible for this funding. So, and it's up to $22 million. So we're talking real money. That's the first part is the data. The second part is the public involvement. And we've been hitting the road. We've been going to these...
pun intended.
Yeah. we've been going to these arts and crafts festivals and online trying to get people to fill out this survey because we have the data. We have a lot of data. But we might be missing locations that have near misses, mm-hmm. blind spots. There might be aggressive driving. There might be harsh braking somewhere that we don't know about. So we want to hear from the public. And I know you have a lot of attorneys that do accidents and stuff like that. We're not an attorney. We want the public's input. We want to know where the public thinks needs to be safer, what the public think needs to be done to make our roads safer in Mobile County. So Mobile MPO does have a survey. If you go to mobilempo.org and go to the first link there, and it's a little QR code otherwise, but it's a quick 2-minute survey, and it asks you, you know, what do you think is more important, texting and driving, you know, speed? And there is a map that's an interactive map online that you can say, right here, there's a blind spot. You need to do something about that. So we'll have a
list. This is the stuff y'all call in, like when I'll have the sheriff on or I'll have somebody from the county and y'all call in or text in about these issues. This is what Kevin's talking about.
That's right.
There's a bad spot at so-and-so. This is the data y'all are trying to get.
Right. Now's your opportunity to let people know. I mean, and the police departments are all doing a great job and reporting this kind of stuff. But this is where the money hits the road, because there is potential funding for these projects in the future.
Yeah, and I'm going to go through some of these with the listeners here, read through. But, you know, it is important, like, with the traffic light timing on airport. And I was about a year and a half ago on a rant about that. Then found out, talked to the folks that work for the city doing that, and what was going on, why they had some problems getting parts for the cameras and the transponders between the two. You know, they weren't talking to each other. And it was interesting to see that difference. My argument was, when the traffic lights aren't synced correctly, then you get some very fast driving, because people think the only way to make that next light is to, like, we're at Talladega, right? And then when you get them synced up correctly, I remember talking to city folks that said, okay, they're set up for 35 to 40 miles an hour, speed limit 45. And once you got it synced, if you do that, you get all green lights most of the time. But we went through a period there where it was just horrible. You sat at a light that
nobody was
crossing over, and you're just sitting there like Maytag repairman.
Yeah, and that's a lot of thanks to the City Mobile Traffic Engineering and ALDOT. ALDOT started the Regional Transportation Operations Program, RTOP, and all the signals are connected to it, and the signals have gotten a lot better. So,
I think that is a public safety move, because people would say, didn't look at it that way, would say, well, more red lights would be safer driving because people will be slowing down and stopping more. But in fact, what I saw is not an engineer or anything, just a dude. As soon as it turned green, I mean, it was people trying to get through the next light before it turned red.
That's right.
And if they have the idea and the expectation that I'm going to catch most of these green lights, yeah, I'll drive normal speed and do all that. All right, so some of these questions you're asking here, and like you said, you got a QR code for it. We could also even put this up on our Facebook page as a link. Leanna, I'll send it to you where people can go through there. It says, what do you think are the biggest behavioral safety concerns in Mobile County? And outside of some other ones, so these are about driving.
Right, that's right. Well, you know, this study also has pedestrian and bicycle countermeasures that are Federal Highway Administration approved countermeasures. So we want to hear about bicycle pedestrian incidents, or what do you think needs to make it safer for bicycle pedestrians also? So it is all modes.
And what about, I mean, this is a side note, what about people in Little Rascals out on the street? Have you seen that? The people that are like crossing the airport riding a electric mobility scooter?
Yeah, that's an enforcement problem, I think.
Yeah, that is. All right, so some of these questions here. You said, what do you think are the biggest behavioral safety concerns in Mobile County? And you give us a chance to give you like a, you know, a no concern to high concern in each one, right?
Right.
Speeding, distracted driving is on there. That one is, if I can look at the text line right now and people give you some opinions about that. Driving under the influence, red light running, aggressive driving, seatbelt use, and child car seat use. And then you said, what do you think are the biggest roadway infrastructure concerns in Mobile County? And that's what you were talking about, too. The curves, I mean, you have intersections, and you maybe get data on that, but where's a bad curve? Where do you have limited sight distance?
Right.
That limited sight distance is one, too. You're coming over a hill.
Right.
And then there's somebody turning out right in front of where you come over the hill.
If you got an elevation and a curve, it could be bad. But, you know, the rural areas of the county have higher speeds and have more rural runoff road situations in the rural areas. And a lot of those are sometimes worse crashes because of the speeds.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so here you go. Direct input. Rick says, hey, Kevin, can you let the person in front of me know that when the light has changed to stop texting so we can go?
That's right. I've been in a collision because of a girl text. And everybody, I think all your listeners have either been affected by a crash, either their family members or friends, or they have.
And with this, you're saying, all right, what can we do to make some changes here, right? What can we do to alleviate this? So if people take this survey, and I'm going to do the same thing. I've got it open here in front of me. I'll take the survey. Speeding. Let's see if I score that. That would be medium concern. Distracted driving is high concern for me. Driving under influence, high concern. Red light running. Maybe it's getting better. I don't know. I mean, remember MPD put down some pretty heavy enforcement on that. Right. You know, maybe getting some people to think twice before going through the red.
Yeah, and if you're speeding, distracted, not driving, but red light running, you're trying to get to your tree stand in the morning, you just got to leave a little earlier.
So once again, somebody could, I mean, I know these are posted up, but and we're going to put the link on our Facebook page, but where do they go to get the survey again?
It's you can go to mobilempo.org, and it'll be right there on the homepage to click the link. And there's some information about the SS4A program. You know, surveys is a big part of this. The city of Athens, they had 1,400 surveys.
Athens, Alabama?
Athens, Alabama.
They had Tennessee River area?
That's right. And I have a personal goal to try to get more than 1,400 surveys, so I need your listeners' help.
Okay, well, this is our Christmas ask. Do this, and it helps us all when this information comes in. And I guess it would be this information comes in, you get the grant money, you go, okay, you change the curve on a road. I mean, how does it – give me an idea how it's implemented. What does it look like when you
– If there's a change in the curve, that's a good example. If it's identified in the safety action plan, that next round of funding, whoever's jurisdiction it is, Mobile County or City Mobile, they will apply for the SS4A implementation grant for 80% funding for that. So, but it's got to be part of this plan. And the prioritization involves the number of public comments that it gets. So that's another important reason that we need these surveys filled out.
Okay, if you want to change instead of just complaining about it, this is a way to try to do something about
it. That's right. Here's your chance.
Very good. All right, you can check it out. And yes, people are asking, we're going to put this, the link up on our Facebook page. I'll put it up over on the X feed as well. And you said you're coming back to see me in January?
Yeah, I got another survey about transit. How are we going to make transit better in Mobile? So, you'll get it. I'll bring you something else.
All right, I'm interested. And by the way, Bill said people driving with their high beams on is a huge safety issue. It's rampant on the road. Seems like the last 5 or 10 years it's normal behavior. Reflects on our self-centered culture, I believe. And also, I'll just add this. The new high beams are brighter than they used to be.
Yeah, especially for people with blue eyes.
Yeah, as we're sitting here, 100%, brother. Good to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
Man, thanks, Sean. Merry Christmas.
All right, I'll put the links up. Y'all take part in that, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 155 FM Talk 106.5. And heads up here, Christmas gifts. Looking for that special gift for somebody. Maybe it happens to be at Stone Arms. Hint, hint, if anybody's listening out there. Stone Arms also has they call it a kiosk. And my buddy Jeff Stone runs Stone Arms. It's a computer on a wall. Kiosk makes it, I don't know, maybe it's fancier sounding, but I told you about this, that when I did this process for years I wanted to go through and get a suppressor, a silencer, a can to shoot with. And it was tedious because you could fill out some forms online. And of course, like all government forms, this had to be exactly in this place and you couldn't screw it up. And then you had to get your fingerprints down at the sheriff's office. Then you had to get the passport type photo. Then you had to put everything together. I just didn't get it done. So when Jeff said, hey, man, I got this kiosk, a computer on the wall there to do it, I went out and it is the easiest dang process. So if you've been thinking like, I want to do it, but give yourself 20 minutes. That's what it took me. And it's you put your information in, go to next. And then you put your fingerprints in there, takes a picture, does a whole 9 yards, puts it together, sends it off to the feds. And then for me, it was just 2 weeks till I got my green light to get a suppressor. So if you're already got that green light, great selection of suppressors out there in stock, great rifles, shotguns. And as I've pointed out too, a fantastic gunsmith. a gunsmith that has fixed everything from maybe putting together modern sporting rifles for me to my grandfather's 1936 32 caliber lever action, restoring it beautifully. I mean, a real artist out there in the gunsmith department. So check him out. If you want to go get those last-minute Christmas gifts, if you're looking for suppressors, you're looking at accessories, you're looking for rifles, shotguns, and handguns, they're all one place. Stone Arms, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard on the south side of the road, and online at stonearmsinc.com. All right, let me grab a few texts here before we wrap it up and Feinbaum takes over. Let's see. Yes, Michael says, also lights like the one on University by South and the one on Midmost and Michael don't work. And people regularly run the reds because it takes forever for them to trip. You